Back on the Buffalo Coaches Show here on KWKR alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff, and I say alongside, I'm going to welcome you in now since I pretended that you were next to me the last time. But you're, you're doing like three different jobs here. I mean, you're out, you know, you're mowing the lawns as they're, you know, teeing off this morning.
And I was actually wanting to watch our girls play today and had a real tough time. I actually got to see Abby and some of the girls come in on nine and then got to watch some of them tee off also on top of that, though. But congratulations right off the bat. I've known this young lady for a long time.
Well, you can't give a specific year because then that would tell how old
you are.
That's
true, but boy, it touches my heart though when you see these kids and how they've come from ground zero to where they're at today. Abby Shattuck, boy, congratulations. You know, you talked about last year. I think about going into 16 last year at Rolling Hills. You maybe had a 3 or 4 footer, tough little putt though. I mean, with a little bit of a breaker, you missed that one, and then you just started leaking a little bit of oil toward the finish. In couldn't finish, but here you go 40 on the front and then really turn it up on the back.
Yeah, definitely a great improvement from last year. I really feel good about my improvement. The front nine, I struggled hitting the ball where I needed to, and I really wasn't making any putts, and nothing was really going right for me. And after parring nine, we had a little bit of a backup. I think there was like two groups on 10. And our athletic director, Mr. Segovia, was standing there and he said, make this your back nine. Make it great. And so that just motivated me to push on and fight hard to the end. So.
As your mentor, by the way, just
and you call Cole Wassinger your mentor?
Yeah, yes, he's definitely my mentor.
I'd call him a meteor, maybe something like that. But the thing is that you talk about this conditions today. You know that I could see scores coming in on the front nine, and I knew that they were a little bit high. You had two girls that were ahead of you, and with Audrey Judd, who won last year, she had a 35 when she came in, and then goes back out. Very good golfer. But the thing is, the conditions weren't too bad out here, considering. I know that the greens might have been a little bit slick, had trouble putting, but the thing is, though, that, you know, what could have been? Because I know that you were on 13 for an eagle putt, also 16 for an eagle putt, and then threw a great shot here on 18 also.
Yeah, I had a lot of opportunities to score. On the front nine, I actually did have a lot of birdie opportunities, but like you said, the greens were really slick, and I just bombed my putts by and couldn't make the ones coming back, so That was a struggle, but the conditions were great. From what we predicted they were going to be, we thought it was going to be cold and windy, but the wind stayed back and the temperature kind of got up there, so it wasn't too bad.
That is Abby Shattuck joining us here on the Buffalo Coaches Show on KWKR alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We're broadcasting live from Buffalo Dunes, which is the site of the 6A Girls State Golf Tournament, where Abby shot a 74, so we're still actually waiting for her official placement. Right now we're thinking it's going to be one or two. We know that. So that much we do know.
Right? And what I like right here is actually I made a prediction that I think that this team could finish in the top three.
Yeah, our team played really well today.
Very well. Hannah Leiker came in with a 90.
Yeah.
I think that first time that she's ever broken 100.
That's the sophomore. Yes.
And as I look out here right now and I look at the scores, I see that we are the high score right now. Well, the low score. In the high place right now, but there's still a couple other teams to come rolling in here, but I'm still predicting a top three finish for Garden City.
Here's the thing, and we've been talking about what happened last year, and I know I talked to you late last week, and one of the things I asked you is what's the one thing you took away from the last 4 or 5 holes from last year's state tournament, and was that even on your mind? I know you said that you wanted to totally get that out of your mind, but it's almost hard to do that.
Right.
Was that out of your mind? Or
Well, not really. When I was going into the back nine, I was like, I've got to finish hard. Last year, I didn't finish hard enough, and this year, since senior year, my home course, I've got to finish hard, and that really motivated me to keep my head up and keep fighting. So it taught me to just fight all the way through.
Well, you think of the great programs here. You think of over the years, Manhattan High, that's done very good over the years. That's what you want to do, is be a team that continues to return. You think of Olathe Northwest, that's going to do well this year. Mays is another team that does well. Those are the three teams I think of that you have to contend with here, too. I don't know about Shawnee Mission, the team that won it over last year, whether they've got enough to get here or not. But the thing is, though, in fact, they don't. But the thing is, though, just want to congratulate you. And you sit here and think about this as we sit here, Abby, and this is what kind of gets me a little fired up, I guess, if you will, and this is where I get a little melancholy. your last time.
Yep.
You know, and so now what goes on from here after the senior year?
Well,
WPGA.
Yeah. I am actually I haven't signed anywhere yet, but I have I verbally committed to North Texas and Denton, and plan on playing golf there and just seeing what happens.
Well, so you can live with the fact that you're going to be the mean.
I'm going
green.
To be the mean. Yeah.
Very good, and I love that area too. By the
yes,
way, down there, the Dallas area,
it's my
Fort
favorite.
Worth. Yeah, great area down there too. Good golf all year round, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
They had a really
warmer
good,
weather.
Really good broadcasting school there, by the way. We should mention. Abby Shattuck joining us here on the Buffalo Coaches Show on KWK, or also on WesternKansasNews.com. Congratulations again to her, finishing with a 74, so two over. This is a par 72 in the 6A Girls State Championship. And it was one of those days where we talked about the weather and everything was looking good. And, I think the early forecast that we had saw was rain. We saw wind. I mean, there were several things that were in there, and you didn't have to worry about any of that. But was that in the back of your mind that you say, because, look, the elements are going to come into play when you're playing golf. Mm-hmm. The wind never really picked up. So you guys got a couple of fortunate breaks.
Right. It was a nice day. Home course. My friends got to come out and watch, family, and I know the girls' family got to come out and watch, and everybody was just pumped up and ready to play. So.
Well, Abby, we appreciate you coming on. Congratulations again on the strong finish, and you've made up in a big time way for last year. So there you go.
Yes, thank you.
No problem. We'll take a quick break. We got a couple more golfers coming on. We'll talk with Coach Melinda Bass. Megan Stewart's going to join us here in just a couple minutes as well on the Buffalo Coaches Show here on KWKO. All right, back on the Buffalo Coaches Show alongside the best-looking man in radio, Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. We are live at Buffalo Dunes, the home of the 6A Golf Girls State Championships. And it's been a long, eventful day. We talked about weather. We've talked about some of the different elements that could have come into play. And I should say weather did come into play, Ross, because it was, 45, 50-minute something that you taught me this morning, because I had never heard of a frost delay until this morning. So thank you for tutoring me on that area.
Cannot go out. It's kind of amazing. Right before the sun comes up, plenty of water out there. You're able to drive out on it, and then all of a sudden, when the sun gets ready to come up, it gets coldest in the morning.
Yeah.
And then it freezes. And then you cannot be on the grass, because even just your footstep will bend the grass and kill it. And so there's going to be some footsteps out there, I know. But the thing is, though, I just want to say hi and congratulations to Megan Stewart. I sit there and think about last year, Megan, there at Rolling Hills, a little bit disappointed, came in. And what I like about you is that I don't have to see, I see a young lady out there that plays but hardly shows any emotion. And just kind of cruises along right there and just, you know, does what she does, and that's it. And, yes, I know, Kendall, that she doesn't do any cussing. I'm sure she wasn't cussing, throwing her clubs out there from what I hear. But generally she plays like that. And I tell you, very proud of you, because senior year – Last time out here playing. Nice job.
Thank you.
Talk about the conditions out there.
It started off really cold, had three layers of jackets on. And I was still hitting pretty good. Weather really doesn't mess me up too bad, but in the wind wasn't a problem at all for me.
Well, and you've played, over the last, I'd say, 2 or 3 weeks, you guys have played in tournaments where the wind was, ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it was at Great Bend, but when you guys were playing in the WAC tournament, or just even over the last couple of weeks, compare the conditions today to what you guys had over the last couple of weeks.
Oh, I loved it out there today. I thought it was so nice. And it warmed up right after about my first nine. It was kind of cold. Second nine hit. It was beautiful out there, I thought.
What does it mean to you? This is a young team. I mean, you sit there and think about that over the last 4 years, you were part of a young team, too, that was growing. And the way it's come here is that, just a couple seniors leave, juniors and sophomores come in, but you get a freshman here right beside you also in Danielle, though. But it's kind of a mentoring program for you also, is that you were led the way, and showed what to do and how to do it. Now you get to teach these young ladies.
Yeah, since I've been on the team, we haven't had all of our top four scorers be seniors. So we've never really been left in the dust, because we've just been building up our younger kids and making better teams as we go.
That is Megan Stewart joining us, a senior joining us here on the Buffalo Coaches Show live from Buffalo Dunes. We should tell you that at last check, we had Abby Shattuck on before. She had shot a 74. One or two finish it's going to be. So that's We do know that. We don't know 100% exactly where she'll finish, except we know it's going to be one or two. So, but Megan, you shot a 98.
Yes.
Okay. And as far as the team, I'm still getting some numbers in right now as we speak. Okay, so Danielle, the freshman, shot, what, a 90? Is that 98 as well? Am I doing my math right?
Yeah.
Okay, so you shot a 98 as well. So both of you, and we've been talking about this, what does it mean to both of you? We'll start with the senior over here. What does it mean as far as a team getting a top three finish?
I think that's awesome, especially since last year. We finished fifth last year, and we had two really, really good golfers, both that are going to go off to college and play college golf. And now we only have one that's just a really consistent, really good golfer. And knowing that we placed better this year with one is great. That's awesome.
Now let's go to the freshman as far as the experience. I mean, you got a lot of experience playing out here with girls that have been here before. So what did you take away from today?
It was pretty awesome today. I got to play with people who are older than me and get like to know more people and stuff. And it's really fun. And it's a good experience for freshmen. So.
What did you take away playing with, you know, with Megan and playing with Abby that, you know, I think Megan kind of sells herself short saying that there's only one really good one, but the fact is, we'll play coy. The fact is, I mean, she got a 74, but playing with her and Megan, the seniors, what has that taught you?
To focus more and take more time on my shots and to look at things different on the holes.
How did it feel for you, both of you guys, to be playing here at home? I mean, this was a tournament where you didn't have to go traveling, you know, halfway across the state, or you guys got to sleep in your own beds, no hotel or anything like that. So how did that feel as far as playing at home?
It was an advantage.
Yeah, it was great. Nice to wake up in your own bed and be like, oh, I'm going to play state today. Cool, that a course I know. It's nice.
And that's another thing, too. We should point that out. You guys, this is your home course. Not that we didn't know that, but the advantages that you guys know certain things about these holes that other teams don't. How big of an advantage do you think that really is?
Oh, there's holes on this course that if I hadn't played it before and I just looked out there, I'd be like, oh, no, what am I going to hit? But I'm used to this place, and I know what to do. So it's definitely an advantage.
We'll go to the freshman. Same question to you.
Well, on a couple holes, I knew exactly where to aim, and other girls, they don't aim in a total different spot, and they didn't know where they're going. So I guess that was a really good advantage.
There you go. Before we get you guys out of here, just first we'll go with you since you're graduating. What's next for you? Golf plans next level or?
No.
WPGA Tour?
No.
I just got accepted into the art program up at K-State.
Okay. Well, so congratulations.
Do something up there.
Okay.
So.
There you go. And of course, we know you have three more years of golf. So you're planning on coming out next year, we assume, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
There you go. Well, guys, congratulations. We appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
There you go. That is Megan Stewart, Daniel Gasper joining us here on the Buffalo Coaches Show. Take a break. Come back. At some point, we will get Melinda Bass on here to talk with us as well. Buffalo Coaches Show rolling on live from Buffalo Dunes on KWKR. All right, back on the Buffalo Coaches Show, live from Buffalo Dunes, the home of the 2013 Class 6A Golf State Championship, the Girls Golf State Championship. I got Ross Miller to my side. We also have, we're talking to, as we speak right now, the third place Lady Buffs as far as the golf team. And a couple more we have coming on, Lindsey Bradstreet, who, as far as I'm looking at the numbers here, hang on, we're adding. You had a 98 or an 88?
Can't read your 93.
93. So I was off by five. All right. So let's start with you. As far as the conditions, we've been talking about that with the other girls, but just overall, how do you think you played?
I think I did really good. Some of my putts weren't the greatest, but just kind of get through it.
What would you say, the front nine or the back nine was more tougher? I mean, this is your guys' home course, so you know it better than anybody else.
I thought the back nine was, just because it started getting a little bit more windy and it warmed up and all, but I don't know. I didn't play as well in the back.
Now, is this, rank this score as far as comparing it to other scores that you've had in the past? Is this your lowest, or is this?
No, it's comparable. It's not my lowest, but I'm happy with it.
Okay. So. When you look at this team in general, finishing it, as far as what we're looking at right now, a third place finish, one of the lowest scores as far as team scores. So how does that make you feel? I mean, pretty big accomplishment for you guys.
Yeah, thinking of how we did last year, we didn't get placed last year, so it's exciting.
All right, let's go from left to right. Tell us your name first off as you come on.
Hi, I'm Hannah Liker.
Okay, now from everybody that's telling me this is the first time that you've ever shot under 100, is that correct?
Yes, this is
And you
correct.
Do it in the state tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, so now how did that come about?
I don't really know how it came about. I just didn't let anything get in my head today and just did my thing.
Now, you mentioned not getting anything get in your head, but again, this is your home course. You're familiar with it. So was that basically kind of relaxing you a little bit, knowing you didn't have to go to a course you weren't familiar with?
Yeah, that was very relaxing because we've played this course so many times over practice this season, and I was just really comfortable teeing off today.
All right, what was the main message from your coach when you guys were practicing last week? I know I talked to a couple of girls, but what was she telling you as far as – it's a little different. You guys aren't going out of town. You're not staying in a hotel. There's not that camaraderie necessarily, but what was her message to you guys?
Just to try and do things like we would if we were out of town, at a hotel, keep our team together, and just have fun, most importantly.
Now, again, we want to reemphasize this because, again, you've never shot under 100, and you do it today in the state tournament, which, I mean, a lot of people, they look at state tournament, they hear the word state tournament, they go running the other way, and you stared it down, and you got it done. So congratulations to you on that.
Thank you.
All right, let's move over. Give us your name. And
Kendra Martin.
Okay, so looking at scores here, I have you at a 104, or is that?
105.
105, okay. And just basically same question to you. I mean, this team all together, the scores go from low to high, obviously, and then Abby anchors the pack. But overall, just tell us how you think you played.
I could have done a lot better, but I know what I need to work on for next year's state if we make it.
What is it that specifically – you don't have to give the whole bag away, but some things that you have to work on.
I need to work on my short game. I had quite a few really good putts, but I could improve that a lot.
Back nine, front nine, tougher, same thing?
I liked the back nine a lot better today.
As far as the weather, you didn't have to worry about the wind, really?
No. Nope.
We didn't have to worry about – it was a little chilly this morning. I know, yeah. You guys got delayed. And let's even start there, the delay. Did that hurt you at all? I mean, did it make you think more? Or?
It made me think a lot more because I realized we'd be going on later and the weather would change, but that was pretty much it.
Well, guys, we appreciate you coming on, and congratulations, all three.
Thank you.
There you go. No problem. That is the Garden City Girls golf team. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll try and catch up with Melinda Bass before we take one more break and start talking football on the other side after the top of the hour. That's coming up on the Buffalo Coaches Show, live from Buffalo Dunes, the home of the 6A Girls State Championships. All right, back in the Buffalo Coaches Show, live from Buffalo Dunes, the home of the 2013 Girls State Golf Championships, alongside Ross Miller, Mike Pilosoff. Coming up here in just a few minutes, we'll have Brian Hill. This is the extended special state tournament edition of the Buffalo Coaches Show. And we're actually looking at some of these numbers coming in now, Ross. And what a finish for Garden City. They almost got second. They just slipped down here in the last minute or two.
Yeah, just as we saw this coming in. But a prediction was that some of the teams that you'd have to really worry about would be teams like Mays that comes in here, Northwest. Another team that really could have got things going too is Audrey Judd, who will win this tournament here. Abby Shattuck will finish second, and then you will have also, looks like that Mays beats Garden City by two. Garden City's been chasing Mays, Michael, all year long. Hasn't been able to draw up to them until today, and they end up in the top three. This is a great achievement for the Garden City girls.
You know, we should point this out that, you know, Abby shoots the 74, and she got plenty of help. We mentioned that, you know, the 90 that was shot, we have a sophomore that shot under 100 for the first time in her career. So that's impressive, to say the least. And a lot of good things have happened. You and I were just talking about this the other day. When you look at cross country, when you look at soccer, when you look at volleyball, they just won the WAC. And we should say congratulations to Chandra Sanders' team. We'll have her on next week. They have Substate coming up this week. And then you look at just all the teams right now. I don't think the worst that any team would be sitting in right now would be the football team, and they still have a chance to win the WAC. So, I mean, really, what a fall sports season for Martin Segovia and his athletic program there at Garden City.
It's sitting very good, but the thing is, though, that it takes a lot of people, whether it be coaches, parents, and you think back to the age of 6 or 7, going on these little traveling teams or putting players out there and make them go out and hit balls, joining golf programs such as youth golf here at Buffalo Dunes or at Southwind. And then you watch this. You spend a lot of time on the road. You don't get paid for all the road trips that you go to, whether it's on the weekends or not, the weekend warriors. And you watch these kids go 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, and then on up into high school. This is big for Garden City. Garden City's already placed here. I mean, they did well 2 years ago, took second. Last year they struggled a little bit coming down the end, didn't quite get there. This year they're going to take home a trophy with them, as what I see out here right now, as long as all the numbers are correct. But a great job by Garden City, because when they made the turn, Michael, I was a little bit worried, and I think that I could probably speak for a couple other people, and I want to rub kind of Melinda into it just a little bit, because she was thinking maybe top five, because you could see that the numbers were high as they all came around. But the thing is that once you got on the back nine, our girls kind of lit up on the back nine just a little bit. They played a lot better on the front than they did the back. And generally that happens out here anyway, because the back is maybe a little bit longer in a way, but it's, you know, not as much trouble. I'll put it that way, in my opinion. I don't like playing the front. I like playing the back. I know that if I'm within two strokes, right around 68 or something when I come off the front, then I can really kind of lay it down there and maybe shoot about a 120 or so when I get off the back. Thing is, though, this is big for Garden City. Congratulations to them. And it's a young team, if you really think about this. We lose two seniors, and then you just keep rotating. And I love this rotation that the girls' golf team has right now.
And you have a coach that coaches these girls up, because we just had a freshman and a sophomore really contribute to the cause. And, again, you talk about when you look at a team, you got to have one really good score at least, and they did that with Abby. So you have Abby 74, and then you have those other numbers come in. And that's where it comes from. Abby's 74 helps. That's the biggest, probably the biggest reason why they got where they got. But you still have plenty of help from the Megan Stewarts, from the sophomore that shoots for the first time under 100. I mean, all these numbers, you just start throwing numbers out at people, and you say to yourself, man, this is pretty impressive the way they finished and what happened to them last year and all the adversity they faced, specifically talking about Abby. And they come back, and they really have a strong finish here today.
Boy, we've got Danielle standing right beside us. Here's a freshman that – you know, it's played well, but the thing is, though, that it's a little bit different story. You can go out and play with your friends, and you can go out and play with other people in other tournaments, but you get in here into the 6A class championship, and it's here on your home course, and people are following you. It's a lot different story, because you've got parents and grandparents all walking along with you, and I tell you what, it's something, and this is the future that we're talking about, is right here. I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun to see where this team goes and what they're able to do in the future.
All right, I'm going to let you get out of here, but on one last point, I want to get just a quick opinion from you. Cross country goes
to regionals.
You got regionals this week. Now you're in Lawrence this week, right?
We're in Wichita this week at the Cessna Activity Center, and that's where we'll be battling Mays.
Okay.
That's a team that we've had trouble with all year when it comes to women's side. The men's side did a very good job there at Great Bend, took second at WAC. The girls won WAC. And there for qualifying, it's at Rimrock in Lawrence the very next week, so you want to run well. We've got a good team that's going to be very strong. I think that we ought to do well here. Mays is going to be a team that we're going to have to continue 10 with Deidre Walker. And then you got to worry about the freshmen, all the freshmen up there at Lawrence Free State. That is a team that is to be dealt with. And that's the thing, that their home course is where? Rimrock.
It'll be a challenge, but our girls have been finishing number one. I mean, they went up to festival in Arkansas and finished ninth out of like 468 teams, so they definitely held their own. Ross, I'm going to let you go. I know you got a banquet to head to, but they always appreciate it, my friend. There you go. That is Ross Miller joining us, as always, here on the Coach's Show. Take a break. When we come back, we will talk with Brian Hills on his way in, and we'll break down the game against Mays and also look forward to the big district matchup coming up against Hutch. That's coming up on the Coach's Show live from Buffalo Dunes. All right, back on the Buffalo's Coaches Show live here on KWKR, live from Buffalo Dunes, the home of the 2013 6A Girls Golf State Championship. They are announcing right now, as all the scores, I believe, are in. And at last check, Ross and I were talking about this, the Buffs finishing third, Abby Shattuck, I believe, finishing second. So a really, really impressive finish for both Abby and really all the girls as the team finishing third. So congratulations. We'll try and sneak Melinda on if we can get her out of the pile of about 10,000 people that are standing outside. We bring in, as we focus, then we take our focus and shift it back towards football. And, Coach, first off, I know it was a tough loss to Mays. And I'd say tough, every loss is tough. But the first six, really, in the grand scheme of things, as you pointed out last week, that's the preseason. Six preseason games, which is two more than the NFL. And you guys did fairly well. Obviously, you won the last three games. And then the Mays game, Ross and I were looking at each other after they scored, and then they scored again. I think they scored in their first three possessions. And it just – I don't know if there was something off, but at the start, what did you see first off?
Well, I mean, we got trapped back there. Field position played a key role in the first quarter. They had short fields. We couldn't get moving, and went three and out a couple times, and the wind wasn't blowing real hard, but it was enough to affect the punt. to take some yardage off of it. And both times that we punted there into the wind, you know, it didn't go very far. And, I mean, both times they touched the ball in our half of the 50. So, and they had a lot to do with that, you know, going back and watching film. I think we obviously had, you know, something to do with it. We didn't play as well as we had, but they had a lot to do with that. They're a very good football team, and, you know, they've beat some very good football teams this year. And, you know, my credit is to them. And, you know, we need to do a better job as well. But some of our poor play was because of their good play.
And truth be told, Mays, obviously their defense, which was not great coming in, but they had a game plan. And let's start there. Grayson Temple for the second time this season. It's only happened twice. Bo Black did it with Great Bend, and then Mays did it last week. So what was it, now that you've already dissected about 67 hours of film in about a day and a half, because I know that's what you guys were doing. I was already getting film back as soon as you guys got back into town on Friday. So what is it that they were doing specifically that was maybe even comparable to what Great Bend did to stop Grayson Temple?
Well, they're just putting a lot of pressure, you know, for him to give the ball up. And, you know, he really didn't do a good job early in the game of allowing his teammates to make some plays for him and get back, off of, the attention that they were giving him. And, that's just something that we talked about. And, you know, he was pressing a little bit, trying to do his best. And but I just think that, he wasn't allowing those guys, and he was forcing things. And then in the long run, what it did was it caused, them to then be able to focus all their attention on him. And it wasn't until the middle of the third quarter until he started giving those balls up to Jared Koster that, broke free for some runs. And then once that happened, I mean, it was amazing how quickly then things picked up and we were able to do things off of that. But while he was only trying to make plays, and it's just the competitor in him. I learned a long time ago that, what makes a great player great is also the same things that can be frustrating coaching a great player. And that great thing is that he's a very competitive individual. He's a great leader, and he wanted to help his team win. And he just kind of, pressed a little bit. I think that's what it was. And, once he got settled down and started giving that ball up, we finally were able to make something happen.
All right, that is Brian Hill joining us here on the Coach's Show. Lost to Mays on Friday. So now, when you're going into the half and you guys are down, and what's your message not only to the team but really to Grayson at that point, maybe to say, hey, look, you're not going to find a more fiery competitor than that guy in all the temples, really, that even Taren. But what was your message to him specifically, quarterback to quarterback?
Well, I just told him he needed to relax and let the other players make plays for him. And, tried to point out some instances that in the first half that if he would have given those away that there was potential out there, because he doesn't see those things. Just tried to point out specific plays and things that we were running that, if he would have given it to this guy or he would have thrown it to this guy's open. And once we got that pointed out to him, made some corrections, then we had to get back out there. And, still we had to wait for that one big play to kind of pop it to get us going. And when Jared was able to make that run, it really kind of loosened some things up. And our message really at halftime was we got to within two possessions. It was really a two possession game. It was 16 points, but it was two possessions. And that's what we were trying to get to. And as if we could have gotten the one, then been able to get another one, we'd have been right there. But, really the one that really broke our back was the kickoff return for a touchdown. You take that away and we're only down a possession and, the whole game changes at that point.
And that's something that you and I had discussed on the postgame show, because I was out of practice on Thursday. And that's, you guys have a way that you guys do practice in special teams. You have this whole segment of special teams. And I see if the guys aren't doing it right, a lot of coaches say, special teams, forget it. That's the way it's supposed to be anyway, because it's three phases of the game, and they beat you in the third phase, obviously. But you guys were working on those specific things. What's the thing that frustrated you the most about that specific kickoff return?
Well, when they do what they did, they only hand it to number one.
Yeah.
We could have had 10 guys tackle one, and if another guy would have scored, they'd at least done what I asked them to do. And that was probably the most frustrating part, is that we had, every time we'd seen them do it, you know, they've only handed the ball to number one when they do that. They fake to all those guys, but they're really doing it to hand it to number one for obvious reasons. And, you know, the fact that we weren't paying attention and a guy got out of his lane and, you know, there is no making up room on him because he's so fast. And, you know, it didn't start with a great kick. That's not where I wanted the ball kicked. We were trying to actually kick it short of him and hit the ground so that it messed up the timing of that there in the back. But, you know, that's sometimes what you get when you put a freshman out there.
Defensively speaking in this game, and actually staying on the offense for one more point, you guys outgained them. You had more yards than they did. You had more total plays, which if you look at the previous games, every time, even when you guys win, the other team's running more plays. Well, you guys had more plays, more yards. That goes to show you right now what you can do with statistics. You can just whoosh, throw it out the window. But your offense from the, I would say, the third quarter on, minus the interception by Temple, really did not play bad, I mean, in the second half. And like you said, it was a two-possession game. You had a chance to come even closer, a couple of mistakes there, and penalties hurt you guys.
Penalties were frustrating. Everything that we did was, you know, just seemed to kind of back us up. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is, and we had to just kind of make do with it and just couldn't get over the hump, whether it was penalties or, you know, we'd put in too much stress on the defense and let the defense, you know, out there for too many plays, you know, as far as in short field situations. You know, that was what the key was to the previous three games, was the defense got to defend 80 yards of field most of the time, and now we're asking them to defend, you know, two-thirds of that. And that's just difficult to do repeatedly, you know, time and time again, especially against a very good offense.
And your defense, for the most part, played a good game. This kind of reminded me, and you tell me if I'm wrong, the Bixby game from not this year but last year, some of the big plays. You talked about there was a 50-yard touchdown reception, the screen pass, touchdown pass, where he broke like four or five different tackles. So can you compare it to a game that comes down really to a handful of plays?
Well, it was a handful of plays on both ways. I mean, we had the balls in our hands a couple times, too, for touchdowns. You know, Caleb dropped a couple passes. You know, we had, you know, other people open and things, and, you know, we're one block away from, you know, gaining big yards. So, you know, that's what district play is that it comes down to just a few plays here and there, and if you don't make them, you know, you're looking on the wrong side of it.
When you're a coach, and we'll get into Hutch when we take a break, we'll come back and talk about Hutch, but now that you know what, and it's always, I know last time you lost a game, it was the fiery speech, and I'll make sure to see if I can definitely get in on that this week, because I know I was very impressed with the last one. So this week, practice, I mean, do you change anything? I mean, look, you guys won three games in a row before that. It's not like the season's over. You got two games. You got to win this one, obviously, but do you change anything this week at this point in the season? I mean, these guys know what they're doing.
No, I mean, now it's just, you know, I mean, we're not going to change anything. I mean, we're going to go and we're going to watch film. We're going to prepare the same way. You know, I'd like to prepare a little bit harder, a little smarter, make some changes, be a little more physical. But, you know, when it gets right down to it, you know, overall, a big overall change is not what we need. It just needs more focus. We need to play better, and we need to make the plays when they become available.
Let's take a break, come back. When we come back on the Coach Show here from Buffalo Dunes, we will focus on Hutch. Interesting conversation I had with our head coach earlier today, but that's coming up on the other side. Live from Buffalo Dunes, the home of the 2013 Girls Golf State Championship. All right, back on the Buffalo Coaches Show, live from Buffalo Dunes, the site of the 2013 Class 6A Girls State Golf Championships. Shaking the hand of my good friend Martin Segovia. Maybe we'll get him to jump on here in just a second as well. But we got Brian Hill, the Buffalo's head football coach, joining us following a loss to Mays. So now the attention turns to Hutch, which whatever struggles Hutch had through their first six games with all the injuries, they made it all right with a big-time win over Dodge. So just initial breakdown of that film. Dodge is struggling right now offensively. Their defense not playing bad, but their offense can't score touchdowns. They're turning it over in the red zone, and Hutch took advantage of that, obviously.
Yeah, it was kind of same song, same dance from what I understand. I mean, we don't get it. We don't follow Dodge in any schedule. So this is the first time we've seen them actually on film. So, but, you know, for the most part, you know, Hutch dominated the game. In fact, actually, a couple other times they turned the ball over. They on the first drive of the game, they fumbled going into the end zone and for a touchback. So they really could have scored 42 points. So, you know, all the woe is me and everybody telling about how many guys they've had injured and things like that, they sure don't seem to be that same group of people. So, you know, I expect them to be here you know, full force and ready to play. And, yeah, they might be missing some guys. We're missing some guys. But they're the guys that have been playing for us for some time. You know, that's where we're just going to have to play with who we have, both sides.
Would you be surprised if Coach Dreiling said, okay, look, all these guys are injured. The entire offensive line is injured. And then Friday night, you got all five starters back in there. I mean, would that surprise you at all?
Yeah, a little bit, because he would be the guy that would actually just tell me. I mean, he's that kind of guy. I don't know if he knows how to play games like that. He's just so blunt and honest about everything, whether it's right or wrong. You know, he's just going to flat say it. So he's not one, like, I felt like I've been lied to a few times this year earlier in the season about guys being injured, and then I walk out there on the field and that guy's dressed out to play. But, you know, we don't prepare based on who, you know, individually is playing. We're you know, doing our thing based on, you know, what we think we can do to put our kids in the right positions. And if every once in a while it happens to deal with that, you know, we're still only talking about a handful of plays during the course of a game that you may try to attack one single guy, because the execution comes down to 11 on 11.
Last year's game got away. They put up 50 points, but – and really, if you look at a lot of your games, you never see blowouts. But that was kind of the one eyesore that if you look on your resume since you've taken over. So, and it wasn't a blowout early. I mean, it probably comes down to a handful of plays. I know they put a ton of yards up on you. They ran the ball, and that's what Hutch does. They run the football. Are you showing that film? Because, look, a lot of these guys, Grayson was there. I mean, a lot of these guys were part of that. So are you showing them that film and saying, hey, this is not us, and it's a totally different team?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things you got to show them is, you know, what mistakes you broke down on, where those happened, and how quickly against a good football team that can get away from you, and why it's so important to stay away from those mistakes. So, because, you know, we caught an early break from them. They fumbled the ball inside their own 20 on their opening possession, and in about six plays we scored. You know, we were up 7-0 in that game, and then, you know, it was all downhill basically after that. And they made big plays on us. They were, you know, scoring from long distances. They threw some passes on us, you know, that we weren't expecting. So, you know, you've got to be ready to go, and you know that you're going to get their A game. But I think, you know, like I told the kids earlier today, that the biggest thing about playing Hutch, in my opinion, through talking to a lot of their league schools that they play, where their kids get to see him, you know, repeatedly in JV games, is don't play the helmet. You know, just play the kid. You know, and I think too many times we spend all this time, you know, worrying about Hutch, and you look out there and you see that blue helmet, and, you know, kids are intimidated. And, you know, I told them before, I said, you know, if I put another one of our league schools on some of these kids, you'd believe that they played for that school. And so, you know, it's kind of fighting that same thing that I felt like when I first got here, was that we played some of the better teams in our league, you know, the Hazes and Dodge Cities, that we played the helmet, and we were, you know, intimidated by the helmet. And this is kind of the same scenario, is, you know, let's just play. You know, they practice, they're the same age, they don't work any harder than you guys do. It just comes down to execution, and I think that if our kids will go out there and believe that you know, they got a great chance on Friday night.
When you get into a situation like you were last year, when you fall down, you take the lead, and then you fall down by so many points, as a coach, take us through how you stop the bleeding, at least how you try to, you know, calling timeouts or pulling your guys over and have like a Denzel Washington type speech. I mean, what is it that you try to pull out of the bag, even against Mays on Friday? What is it that you're trying to tell them?
Well, it's you're trying to find something to give them confidence, and, you know, there's no words that can do that for any of them. You know, yelling and screaming at kids isn't going to get it done. You know, sitting there babying them isn't going to get it done. What it comes down to is, I think what you saw even against Mays, that it took some confidence. As soon as we showed that we could move the football, all of a sudden now we feel like nobody could stop us again. And so it's just confidence. Can we make them punt? You know, can we make them punt two times in a row? Then can it be three times in a row? And then, you know, it's just building on the confidence that you gain. And, you know, when you're trying to stop something like what was happening last year, we're just trying to get to the point where, you know, can we make them punt? You know, and then can we string two, three first downs in a row and change field position? And, you know, you got to start small. And if you can do those things, then great things can happen from there. But I think it's really a confidence issue and a belief issue, is that when you're playing a team, like I said, that, you know, as the prestige that they have is can you still believe, or are you going to sit there and say, uh-oh, here it goes again?
That is Brian Hale, head football coach, joining us here on the Buffalo Coaches Show. Looking at your resume, pretty impressive. The week one loss to Bixby, you lost the game, but you had a chance to win the game at the end. I think they're 4-2 and 5-2 now. And then you look at Woodward, who just lost to Anadarko, who's been in two state championship games, and they actually had him down. It was like 18-15. I think Anadarko won by one or some crazy thing. And, I mean, just the team, Hayes has only got but one loss. I mean, it's the teams that you've beaten, and not only beaten, you've beaten soundly. Woodward, you had to come back after you but you had a big lead in that game too. So knowing that you've played some really good football teams, and you played a Woodward team that's still, even though in week two, they were still 2 weeks ahead of you because of the scrimmages. So how much confidence does that give you going into a game against Hutch that's won 12 of the last gajillion state championships?
Well, I think it's, you know, again, it just comes down to, can you believe in what you're doing? I mean, you know, again, if you want to, if I put Woodward helmet on those kids, you know, would they be any different? And because that's really what it comes down to, is I put a different colored helmet on those kids and a different colored uniform, and I didn't call them the Hutchinson Salt Hawks, would we play the same way? I mean, that's that's my message this week, is let's not play the helmet. Let's play the kids. Let's make them make plays. Let's them, you know, put them in stressful situations. Let's see if they can defend us. Can they block us? Can they, you know, can we run something back on them in special teams? I mean, that's really what it comes down to, is can we get all these things, you know, turned around in our favor and create confidence? Because the earlier the confidence happens, the more confidence that our kids carry earlier in that game, the more that we'll start to believe. And, you know, so I think getting off to a really good start is very critical for us on Friday.
Knowing that a loss in this game eliminates you guys in the playoffs. So, I mean, I know that you can just stand on a table here and say, hey, guys, you lose this game, your season's over. I mean, that's pretty easy to do. I know that's not what we're trying to do here, but the way the format is in Kansas, that's the way it would work if you guys lost. So, pressure, I mean, how much you guys are at home now the last two games. And we're not even, you know, you could care less about Dodge right now, because if you don't win this game, obviously you got to focus on what's in front of you. So does being at home help? I mean, is there a lot of pressure, do you think, on this game? Or are you guys going to come in playing loose?
Well, I mean, that's just not kind of our style, is to sit around. We're not going to sit around and, you know, mope and, you know, explain, you know, all the scenarios and things, because, as you said, that's for you guys and everybody else. I mean, our job is to go out there and win a game. I mean, no matter what the circumstances are, you know, I think we still have a lot to play for. I mean, playing your rival in the end of the year, no matter what happens Friday, you know, we play for a trophy, and, you know, that game's going to have meaning in the WAC standings now. I mean, we can win the WAC, you know, with a win against Dodge City. So I still think there's a lot in these last two games to be had, win or lose Friday night. But, you know, to obviously make the playoffs, you know, we want to go out there and play. And it'd be a great step for our program to go out there and beat a team like Hutch, with the prestige and with the things that they've done throughout the years in the playoffs, that, you know, it'd give us a chance. And, you know, it'd be about the only time I talk about it, but if we could beat them and then they go to, you know, Mays goes to Hutch in the last week of the season, that, you know, we saw Mays is very capable of winning, you know, in Hutch as well. So, you know, that would be our scenario, is to beat Hutch on Friday, win against Dodge City, and then hope that Mays could beat Hutch, you know, on the last game of the season, and then, you know, we wouldn't have to worry about going to points and things like that to make the playoffs.
Okay. Well, Coach, we always appreciate you coming on. Good luck.
All right. Appreciate it.
There you go. That is Brian Hill joining us here on the Coach's Show. That's going to wrap it up here on KWKR live from Buffalo Dunes. We'll take a break, come back. You can join us on AM 1030 KBUF. It is the Buster Coach's Show. We have Matt Miller coming on. Huge win for the Busters on the road against rival Dodge City. Good job, as always, by Brett Erskine back in the studio. For my partner, Ross Miller, I'm Mike Pilosoff. Coming up again, just a couple minutes. Flip it over on the AM dial, AM 1030 KBUF. The Buster Coach's Show coming up just a couple minutes.